Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Anything notable to tell me about that's happened in your life?
Oh, yeah. So I am chair of the planning board in Belmont, and we are in the process of voting on our compliance plan with the MBTA Communities Act. Do you know what that is?
You've explained it to me a little bit, but I think additional information would help anybody.
All right. The shortest way to explain it is it's a state law that mandates towns zone for more multifamily housing. And a whole bunch of towns got a requirement, and we have spent the last 2.5, maybe 3 years developing how we're going to comply with this law. And town meeting is going to be right before Thanksgiving, and we'll vote on it then. And hopefully it goes well, because it takes a lot of work to get here, and I would like to get to a positive outcome and be done.
Great.
Yeah.
And once the town votes for it, you'll go into action to make the plan work?
No, you know, it's just zoning. So you don't even have to build any of this stuff. There's no state requirement to build anything. You just have to say, like, if somebody wants to build multifamily housing in this, that, or the other place, then you can do that.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. The minutiae of local politics is wild. I like it because at local government, you're working on stuff that actually matters to your life. You're not fighting these like big philosophical battles about like what's the nature of humanity or policies that affect like far off places, but maybe don't feel super impactful at home. So I like it.
I bet you've learned a lot.
I've learned a lot. Yes. My clients benefit significantly from my understanding of zoning bylaws now, which are, it's kind of like understanding how paint dries.
Yes. So, I mean, it's cumbersome. And if you're not good at it, it impacts you in lots of different ways.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to say to somebody, for someone to be able to ask you like, hey, could I do an addition in this direction? And be able to say, well, let me check their zoning bylaw and I know how to read it. So yeah, here's probably what you can do.
That's good.
Cool. Well, this, you know, we're getting into the holiday season. So this week we're talking about holiday baking and gathering, cozy kitchen tips for the season. So, Mom, why don't we start with you? What are your favorite holiday cooking traditions and how do you incorporate them into your gatherings every year?
So I have two major ones.
Yeah.
One is at Thanksgiving, we have started deep frying a turkey.
Well, hold up. That's my cooking tradition.
That is yours. I've got some, but I just wanted to say that I never thought I would like that tradition.
Oh.
And I've become a believer of the deep fried turkey. And that is something you turned our family onto, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It does involve sitting outside, but it is a delicious turkey in the end.
Yes.
Personally, when I get into the holiday season, for me, the big cooking takes place in December for Christmas because I try to bake a lot of the cookies and kind of family treats that my grandmother, who actually taught home economics at Ohio State University.
Oh, wow.
Like 70 years ago.
Back when you could take that kind of a class at Ohio State.
That is correct. That was one of her things. So,
but you're kind of underselling these cookies, by the way.
Well, the only reason I'm mentioning them, the kind of the historic part of my grandmother is I inherited the cookie cutters from my grandmother. And they actually are tin, and many of them showcase period dress and shows you how old they are because the girls are dressed in long skirts and the little boys have kind of knickers and wear caps.
Yeah.
So it's been one of those traditions that I think it was maybe 10 years ago, not even, so maybe 7 years ago or 6 years ago, where there were four generations of our family making, icing these cookies.
Oh, that's nice.
Which involved Asher, myself, Caddy, my mother. So it's kind of a cool tradition that we have these cookie cutters. And then we have a whole bunch of other items that we cook.
But let's talk about these cookies for a second, because what I don't think you're highlighting to people is that, so you start with a pretty basic sugar cookie recipe, but then you do food coloring in icing and you get these like fantastically beautiful decorated cookies. And you were doing decadent icing designs before they were cool.
For sure.
And your clients get a bag of this. So if you were thinking about hiring Paige, now's the time to do it so you can get some of these cookies.
Goodies, yeah, it's true.
And you know what I think is cool is it does showcase how you have designed your kitchen in that you have several large flat surfaces to be able to lay out all these baked goods. Because if you're a baker, you know that you need space to put ingredients. You need space to put things that are drying. You need space for things that are rising. And I think your kitchen is particularly well laid out for this.
Yeah. And I think that in kitchens, we tend to go, a big one is going to suit everything we need. But I think you're spot on by saying it has to do with the spaces. Like I have an island that's curved, not rectangular. And so it's nice because you can sit and you can eat, or you can sit and you can do decorative things.
Yeah.
But you also have a flat surface away from the other surfaces where you can lay things that you're in process of working with.
Right. Yeah. Your island, by the way, is kind of like, it's like a quarter circle.
Yeah. And it's really worked out well.
Yeah.
It actually was a result of having a small kitchen that couldn't really fit a big, huge square island. So I had to come up with a solution. So I gave it a half curve so that the flow of the kitchen to the family room would work. Because right. If not, you couldn't go between the two spaces.
That corner.
Yeah. Right.
So let's talk about another thing that I think you are well known for is how do you create a cozy, welcoming atmosphere in your kitchen during the holiday season? And I think specifically you need to tell people about your table centerpieces. Or I guess, what'd you call them? You're like tableaus.
I don't know. So I'm into, obviously, decorations. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not so much about the food as it is making the table have a theme and kind of represent what's happening during that holiday season. So for instance, during Thanksgiving, I have all kinds of turkeys and gourds and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And then for Christmas, it morphs into trees and snow and all kinds of small little creatures and things that I kind of, and bows, you know.
And what I think you do really well with them is there's always some sort of medium that these things are all sitting in. So it's not just like a whole bunch of like gourds and turkeys piled onto the table. You'll have like sticks or something like that, that they're all kind of sitting in so that you've got one contiguous centerpiece, even though it's made up of all these constituent parts.
Correct.
And I think that's an important decor element that ties it all together.
Yeah. And along the way, I've picked up little knickknacks along the way to make it work and define a space.
Uh-huh.
And I try to have a couple different themes, which is nice because if you have multiple tables and lots of people coming and you're using your dining room, you're using your kitchen table, and you might even put a round table in your foyer because you've got so many people for the holidays. Everybody has kind of their own little theme going on.
Yeah. Oh, well, awesome.
That's fun.
We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to take a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, so question we got from the audience is, how do you balance decor with functionality in your own kitchen? So I skew, we just talked about how you have a fair amount of decor. I have a smaller kitchen, so I kind of go sans decor. that's how I make everything fit. I love to cook. I need a lot of space. It is hard for me to do that. But, you know, if I really tried, I could probably put together some sort of table centerpiece like what you do. But yeah, I don't know. How do you balance it?
So I think you have to decide what key spaces in the kitchen you're going to need for the holidays. For instance, as I said to you, my island, I use it more for a buffet table and then I set the table. So I think I put the decor in spots that don't impact the cooking.
A formal dining room does help with that.
Yeah. But even not, even if you eat in your, have a kitchen, kind of big kitchen family room and stuff like that. But you have a banquette and a, an area that you could in fact decorate because you would then use your island as a cooking space.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
okay.
Thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston or on the web at yeatsboston.com.